Today's Mass is being offered to repose the soul of Dolores Campos and for blessings upon the birth of Felicia Barraby, whose birthday was just a day ago. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we will commemorate tomorrow's feast, as we won't have Mass tomorrow here within the parish, and this is our penultimate Mass with you. Aloysius Gonzaga, great saint of the Church. Famous university up in the North Pacific Northwest that bears that name as well. The great grace would be that if such the university imitated his real example and actually received his innocence of life. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, if you know, he's this great patron of seminarians because he never became a priest. He longed for from his youth to really give himself fully to God. He was such a devout youth from his young age that his spiritual directors, his moral theologians, those who were seeking to form him in to be a priest and to be a Jesuit, actually what goes on is you give yourself over to formation in a deeper way than any other order does. In fact, no other order actually has been given permission by the Holy See to ask the questions that Jesuits are asked. They're supposed to disclose the inner workings of their soul to those who are in their external formation, which is not what is required by any other order. They have to have total and complete transparency, which means even the disclosing of one's own private sins. And yet they were able to speak of him, saying that they weren't, not only did they not think that he had ever committed a mortal sin, but they couldn't detect that he had ever committed even a venial sin. Such was the life of innocence of such a person. He is a man who wanted to become a priest, but his father said, "No, I won't let you do that." He had greater plans in worldly terms for his son, and so for 3 years resisted him, until finally, by God's grace, touching his soul, allowed him to enter in. He completed those 2 years of formation so that he might finally enter into the normal course of theological and philosophical studies. But seeing the difficulty which he had in pursuing the life which he read about in the saints, the life in which he studied about in those great spiritual authors, and seeing his own resistance of his will, said, "How could I hope to become perfect, to follow God, to really be what this vocation calls of me, unless I add something to my way of life?" The thing that he sought to add was that of penance. It's a beautiful quote from his own life. Speaking of himself, he said, "I am a crooked piece of iron. And I am come in here into religion to be made straight by the hammer of mortification and of penance." What a beautiful way of seeing oneself. To see one's crookedness in one's life and say, "Here I am come to lead a truly religious life, to follow that rule of religion, that rule of following God, such that coming here, I need the hammer to strike me through my own mortification and penance." That's the way that God provides. It's the same for you and I. My mortification and penance is indeed the only way in which the crookedness of our lives can actually be made straight. If we seek to find a real path to holiness, we can't just hope that we'll be there by coming to Mass from time to time, by making sure that we ourselves read good and holy books, that we watch good and holy films, that we can only arrive at such a state if we allow a hammer to strike us. That is, to voluntarily take on penances, those things which our flesh finds repugnant, so that we might be made more and more like Christ. St. Aloysius recognized this within himself. And because he was such a man seeking the Lord, he saw that there were so many who were suffering here in this 15th century, 16th century rather, from the plague, the Black Death. And seeing that he had health, he had strength, he had vigor as a youth, and fired by the charity that God puts upon his saints, had no fear of ministering unto them. And so he went about seeking ways in which to aid those in Rome who were struggling under this severe malady. So it was only a year after doing so that he was struck with a malignant fever that broke out all throughout Rome. And the saint offered himself in service to the sick and was accepted in this dangerous disease. He was brought to the point of death at one point, but then recovered, only to fall, however, again into a slow fever which carried him off after 3 months. We have within our breviaries written a beautiful letter which he writes to his mother. Mother is a good, holy woman. Like every mother, no matter what degree of holiness they've achieved themselves through following Christ, has great desire for their children, especially for their health. And so she was broken up that he was about to die. And there was a distance between the two of them. Having such a severe malady, could the mother actually visit? She couldn't. And so she was at a great loss She was losing her son, his beloved one. And so he writes to her a powerful letter, which I'll leave to your own research to read. It's easy enough to find. And he says to her, in his own words, "Woman, do not be so anxious for my flesh. For though you gave it to me, it is not you who gave me life. My life belongs to God. And so weep not for me, that I am soon to be departing from this present state of being. Realize that I go to God, my God and your God. It is for this that you sent me forth into the world. It's for this reason that you baptized me in the waters that gave me true life." Lovingly and gently, he corrected his own mother to direct her not to tears of sadness, but rather those tears which come from elation and joy. "Indeed, any soul that is entering into heaven should not bring you and I great sorrow, but great joy, because no longer are they plagued with the various maladies that plague us here on earth. As the scripture says, no torment shall touch them there, they that are the elect of God." This young boy understood that well, because he had allowed the hammer of penance, the hammer of mortification, to strike him such that even those crooked ways of thought that exist within the soul, those very natural human tendencies, were straightened. Realize that his only destination is the final destination with Christ. And everything else, any other seeking, is but a seeking spent upon sifting and shifting sand beneath one's feet. St. Aloysius Gonzaga gives you and I, as I'll share with you now, one way of which seeing things rightly. In fact, he gives you and I a couple of things to direct our minds to. First, he says, the first means to make sure that we see the world rightly is that we begin to understand well that through humility is particularly suited to human beings because of the lowliness of their origin. Nevertheless, it does not grow in our garden, the garden of our souls. So we must beg it first from heaven and from him, from whom comes every best and perfect gift. He says, although you are proud, endeavor with the greatest of all possible humility to ask this virtue from the infinite majesty of God, the first and principal author of humility. And then, by the merits and the intercession of the profound humility of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, he chose to empty himself, taking on the form of a slave. He tells you and I that the second means in which we have to achieve this rightly seeing and weighing the things of this world into this life is to have recourse to the intercession of the saints that have excelled in this particular virtue. Remember that here below they were worthy to obtain a special way and degree in this virtue. So in heaven, where they are more pleasing to God than they were even on earth, they will all the more be worthy and deserving. And as they have no more need to humble themselves for their own sake, as by this virtue they have gone up to the heights of heaven, ask them. Ask them in prayer to obtain it for you from God. It's in these two ways, of keeping our eyes directed toward God, who is the author of every good gift, and then realizing that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, as the author of Hebrews speaks about in his 12th chapter of his great work, that they are cheering you and I on and have but one desire, to glorify God and to make sure that heaven becomes all the more full, because every soul that enters into heaven increases the joy, the happiness, the elation of all other inhabitants and denizens of heaven. In whatever moment you may feel that you are journeying alone, and the struggle with the cross, the weight seems that it be too much, that the vocation seems too high for you, realize that you have recourse to all of the saints. Every single one of them, every single one of them is urging you onward. If you would but just raise your eyes above your present difficulty and seek that place from where your help comes on high. Here he is, St. Aloysius Gonzaga. He is our example for you and I during this present journey and sojourn in this life. So have recourse once again as we pray for his intercession in our lives, the very same prayer in which this Mass, the prayers were gathered up in the collect, in that opening prayer of this present Mass. We pray, O God, giver of heavenly gifts, who in St. Aloysius Gonzaga joined penance to a wonderful innocence of life, grant that through the merits which he has in his intercession, that although we have failed to follow him in innocence of life, we may imitate him in penance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.